Well, this evening we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, but we're going to be just doing the first part of our reading. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. And we're going to be looking at why Timothy was circumcised, But before we get to that, let me give you an introduction and with the word hypocrite. I don't know if you've ever been called a hypocrite. I've got two vivid memories of being called a hypocrite, and one of them is the place I'm going to on tomorrow, Bala. I was involved in an open-air preaching service, and someone shouted out in a very loud voice, "Hypocrite!" He was against the gospel that was being preached, and one comfort in being called a hypocrite was at least he was hearing what I was saying, and he responded. Wasn't what I wanted, but that's what happened. A hypocrite, of course, is somebody, or at least the definition of a hypocrite, is somebody who says one thing and does another. And I wonder if you've ever been called a hypocrite because you love the Lord Jesus. I wonder also if you've ever been told that the Bible is full of contradictions. People say, "Oh yes, well, you can't trust the Bible, it's not true, because there are things in the Bible that contradict one another." Well, we're going to begin this evening looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, because this passage has been used in the past by others to say, well, Paul is a hypocrite. And there's a contradiction between Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 16. Now, let's just look at this passage. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. And let's think of what's happening here. Then he, that's Paul, and he's got Silas with him, came down to Derbe and Lystra. These were places that Paul had gone to in his first missionary journey. And as he comes and he's strengthening the churches, he's preaching and pastoring, the disciples of those churches, the church members, they say, "Oh, there's a young man here called Timothy. And the Lord has got his blessing on him, we're sure." And we're told of Timothy that he was his mother was Jewish, and his father was, well, described here as Greek. It means that his father was a Gentile. He was not Greek, not Jewish. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. That's always interesting that there are other churches that are saying about this young man that he was a real blessing, he was a real man of God. And then verse 3, this is where we're going to be concentrating on this evening. Paul wanted to have him to go with him on his second missionary journey. I suppose Paul saw him as a young man he could train up, and a young man who would be useful for the mission of going and telling and sharing the gospel. And we read, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now, if you've been reading the Bible, you've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles, especially if you've read it for the first time, you might say, "Wow, hold on a minute. Wasn't this thing about circumcision? Wasn't it a big thing in Acts chapter 15? And yet we get Paul and this young man, Timothy, and it seems Paul has caused this young man, Timothy, to be circumcised." And people would say, "Look, Paul's a hypocrite. He's saying one thing in Acts chapter 15, and he's doing the exact opposite in Acts chapter 16. The question of circumcision had been dealt with in Acts chapter 15. We spent a bit of time looking at it, didn't we, over the last few Sundays. So let's go quickly to Acts chapter 15 and verse 24. And this is the letter that the churches were receiving from James, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, the brother of Jesus. And he writes, "Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words. The trouble was, of course, that there were some called Judaizers who were going out and saying, well, to be a proper Christian, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to become Jewish, and then you can have Christ. And so it was a gospel of faith and works. And James says, doesn't he, they were unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such commandment. And that was the decree that was came out from the churches. And we saw it last time, that it was by faith alone that people are converted. People come to faith, believe in the Lord Jesus. People have eternal life. But then we come to Acts chapter 16 and verse 3. And this is where it goes a bit peculiar, doesn't it? Paul wanted to have him go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. Now, is Paul a hypocrite? Is there a contradiction between Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 16? Well, we're going to explore this. We're going to find out. And so the first thing to note is this point, that Timothy was circumcised by Paul. You can't deny that fact. Acts chapter 16 and verse 3 tells us, Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. Well, the first thing I think we need to note is this, that Timothy was already a believer in Jesus. Timothy was already a Christian. The Judaizers of Acts chapter 15 were trying to suggest that Gentiles, in order to become Christians, they had to become Jews first, they had to be circumcised, and then they could have Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. But Timothy is already a believer in the Lord Jesus. And that's what Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 and 3 to 3 tell us. We have the name of Timothy is given to Paul. He comes to Derbe, he comes to Lystra. A certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. He was already known in the churches, in Derbe, in Lystra, in Iconium, as being a young believer, a true Christian. You see, circumcision, Timothy being circumcised, wasn't going to add anything to Timothy's faith. It wasn't going to add anything to Timothy's salvation. He wasn't going to be more saved because he was circumcised. But what was happening was this. The very fact that he was going to be circumcised would make him more useful for the gospel ministry, especially in the Jewish community. And we see that in verse 3. And Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. This man, Timothy, if you like, you can put it like this, is of, if you can express it in this way, he's of mixed race. His father is not Jewish. His mother is Jewish. And in order for this man, Timothy, to be able to minister amongst Jewish people, he needed to be circumcised. And we'll see how that works out in a moment. But let's note something else. And that is that Timothy's mother was Jewish. And in fact, we know from Paul's letter to Timothy, some years later, where we actually know the name of his mother and his grandmother, and they were both believers. They were both believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has a Jewish mother. His father was Greek, but his mother was Jewish. And in Jewish culture, in Jewish society, what you were depended not on your father, but on your mother. And so if you were a Jew there in Lystra, and you knew about this man, Timothy, and you knew that his mother was Jewish, you would have said he is Jewish because of his mother. His father's lineage didn't really matter. It was the line of the mother that was important in the Jewish culture of those days. And in the eyes of a Jew, in the first century, I've been told this is also true in the 21st century, if your mother is Jewish, you're Jewish, full stop. And that made Timothy a bit of an outcast. The Jews of that region, they would have known about his background, and they would have thought that he was it was shameful and it was a disgrace. Here was a man who was an uncircumcised Jew. And if you were an uncircumcised Jew, you were considered to be worse than the Gentiles. You would be considered to be a traitor to your own people. So there's a problem. There's a problem that's tainting, if you like, affecting this missionary, second missionary journey of Paul's, because he will have Timothy, who is seen as being Jewish, but he's uncircumcised. And that would hinder the gospel proclamation. Well, it will hinder the gospel proclamation because of this, and it's that Paul was concerned about God's kingdom. Paul did not want anything to hinder the gospel. He didn't want anything to hinder the proclamation of the good news of the Lord Jesus and the growth of the kingdom of God on earth. And Timothy, uncircumcised, would be a hindrance. Because Paul, although he thought of himself and writes of himself as the apostle to the Gentiles, he is also the evangelist to the Jewish people as well, isn't he? When you see Paul as an evangelist, as coming to preach the gospel, he often starts in the synagogues, doesn't he? He often starts amongst the Jewish people and the God-fearing Gentiles who are going to the synagogue. With Timothy as a team member, that would be very, very difficult to do. So with uncircumcised Timothy as one of his companions, one of his fellow workers, it really stop an avenue of ministry for Paul and for Silas. They wouldn't be allowed into the synagogue. They wouldn't be allowed to preach the good news of Jesus to the Jewish community. Timothy would be considered to be a cursed man, and something of that curse would probably be launched at Paul. And so when we get to Acts 16, verse 3, once more, we see why. This is the reason. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him. Why? Because of the Jews. And Paul's concerned about the souls of the Jews and the souls of the Gentiles, the souls of every unbelieving person. And because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Well, as it was in Acts chapter 15, which we saw last time, so it is here. In Acts chapter 15, last time, we came to the teaching and to the thought that the decision of the churches in Acts 15 was because it was all about the advance of the kingdom of God on earth. It was all about not hindering the gospel, that the gospel was for Jew and for Gentile, it's for all peoples. And so it is here. This is Paul operating on the same principle, that the gospel is for Jew and Gentile, for all people. But now, with a Timothy as a fellow worker, a companion, who has been circumcised, then those doors would be open, because Timothy is no longer an uncircumcised Jew. He would no longer be considered to be worse than a Gentile. But now he would be considered to be Jewish. And the doors of Jewish evangelism would be still open for Paul and for Silas and for Timothy. And there's no hypocrisy here, you see. There's no contradiction here between Acts 15 and Acts 16. Because Paul is still, and you can go to the first chapter of Galatians as if you want to prove it, but Paul is still here concerned that the gospel is by faith alone. God's grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. It isn't about works. It isn't about circumcision. It isn't about church ceremonies or church rites. It is by faith in Christ Jesus. And Timothy doesn't have salvation. He doesn't have eternal life because he's been circumcised. No, he had that before. He believed in Jesus and that was enough. So let me ask you a question this evening. Is that the gospel that you hold on to yourself? Or perhaps somebody here, perhaps somebody online might be thinking to themselves, I always thought it was about being good. I always thought it was about good works as well as believing in Jesus in some way. But as we said last time, and we say it again, a gospel that is faith plus something else is no gospel at all. The gospel is of salvation, is through Christ alone, it's by grace alone, God's grace, through faith alone. Well, let me move you on to the second point, because really there's only two points this evening, although the second point has got lots of sub-points to it, and that is to look at the biblical principle in which Paul is working in and through in his missionary journeys. Because with Paul, it is all about being all things to all people in order to win those people to Christ Jesus. And we can convey Paul's theology in this, Paul's teaching in this, in the letter he wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 19 to 23. And this is, I think, this is seeing how Paul operates through his own lens. And he says, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews." I think that's probably very relevant to what has happened to Timothy. "To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, Gentiles, as without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I have become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do." And what's the reason? "For the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." It is for the sake of the gospel. So Paul is telling us that in a Jewish setting, he will be as a Jew in order to win the Jews. In a Gentile setting, he will be as the Gentiles in order to win Gentile to faith. To the weak, he will be weak, and so on. And we have to say that this is so. This is Paul's biblical principle within reason. Biblical parameters, there are certain biblical parameters we must do in order to seek to win people to the Lord. There are certain things that we need to do, perhaps anything and everything, in order to reach people with the gospel, in order to remove the hindrance that may be to the gospel's proclamation and to people receiving the good news of the Lord Jesus. If you think back to Paul and Timothy, because Timothy is a companion with Paul, the Jewish people would not be listening to Paul. They would be looking at Timothy. And they were saying, this man is a shame and a disgrace. This man is worse than the Gentiles because he's an uncircumcised Jew. And they wouldn't listen to Paul. But now that Timothy is circumcised, then that hindrance, that stumbling block is taken out of the way, and he's able to speak to the Jewish people, to his people. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. Hudson Taylor. I think we all know something of Hudson Taylor, 19th century missionary. He went to China, didn't he? He did something so radical that no other missionary had done. When he went to China, he didn't expect the Chinese to learn English so that he could preach to them. He learned Chinese so that he could preach to the Chinese. But he did more than that. He dressed up as somebody in Chinese clothes. He adapted his whole lifestyle to their culture. He ate Chinese food. He became as much Chinese as he possibly could in order to reach the Chinese people with the gospel of Jesus. And ever since then, well, most missionaries, as far as I know, they do the same sort of thing, don't they? They make sure they know the language. They make sure they know the culture. They eat the food. They'll dress, often dress, as those people that they're trying to reach with the gospel. But of course, there's a danger, isn't there? Still, you have to be careful here, not to be so absorbed in the culture that you are taken away from the priority of preaching the gospel. I'm going to mention, I would like to have quoted General William Booth of the Salvation Army, but I couldn't find the quote. I read many, many years ago his life story by his, I think it was by his daughter, and in that book I can remember very strongly that one of the things that he said, and I'll have to give you the sense of what he said rather than the actual words, but it was basically this: you must feed the stomach before you can expect to share the gospel. And that's a great truth. You may have to deal with people's needs and problems before you get the opportunity to be able to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, don't just stop at feeding the stomach. You have to bring in the gospel as well, don't you? That's important. Another example, and perhaps he's a negative example, and he got mentioned a week or two back by somebody, and came into my mind, was a man who went with the nickname of Woodbine Willie. Now, Woodbine Willie, it depends on your view and your theology, I think. He's either very famous or he's very infamous. But Woodbine Willie was an Anglican chaplain in the First World War. And in many, many ways, he did an undoubtedly good work. He was there in the trenches with the soldiers. He's famous being called Woodbine Willie because there was a brand of cigarette called Woodbines, and he would give out the cigarettes to the soldiers. He'd be there to comfort them. He would be there to share their problems and their difficulties. He would be writing letters for some of the men. And in one sense, it was a tremendous work that he was doing. And he got, if I remember, honored for it. But as far as I understand, from what I understand while reading about him, he wasn't an evangelical. It probably was a liberal Christian of some description. And the trouble was, he didn't have a gospel to tell these men as they were going to face their own deaths in the trenches. He couldn't tell them that there was one who died on the cross for them, who paid the price for their sins, the one who would, if they believed in him, would take them into heaven. And so you've got to get a balance here, haven't you? The balance of good works and doing good things, but the balance of being able and finding those opportunities to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust that you are this evening, the purpose we have is that in all that we do and in all that we say, both in secular work, we might say it, and in our Christian work, it should all have the same focus. And the same focus is this: to advance the kingdom of God. To not hinder the gospel proclamation of Jesus Christ at all. And that was Paul's reason for the circumcision of Timothy. Because Timothy being uncircumcised was a hindrance to the gospel. And Paul was seeking to remove that hindrance. Because Paul had in mind the advance of the kingdom of God. He had in mind the souls of Jew and Gentile. He had in mind the souls coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel of himself and his companions. So let me close with one final question. Have I a gospel reason for all the things we do? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for realizing, Lord, this evening that what Paul did, and it might seem to be a contradiction of what was taking place in the previous chapter, but what Paul did was to seek to promote the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to take away the hindrances, the stumbling blocks of the gospel, so that people would come under the word, the gospel word, and would come to a real faith, a real believing in the Lord Jesus. That Paul was concerned about the building of the kingdom of heaven with the gathering in of souls who truly believe in the Lord Jesus. And may that be our purpose, that what we do and where we go and what we say may all have that focus of seeking to lift up the Lord Jesus and to tell others about Jesus and about our love for the Lord Jesus. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.